Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Hear the word of the Lord. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to the story of your love. Open our minds to new ways of knowing you. Open our doors to all whom you would welcome. Amen. This morning we hear two healing stories. Two moments in the life of Jesus where people come out of desperation to the only one who can offer hope. Jesus, the healer. Just like the people seeking the help of Jesus in these stories, we have an expectation of who it is we're going to meet. Jesus, the healer. But on top of that, as those who've heard the story of Jesus before, we're also expecting to meet Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the second person of the Trinity, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Is that who we see in this passage? Honestly, the first story in this morning passage kind of hurts my feelings. Maybe I've seen too many Jesus movies in my life, but when I picture Jesus in my mind, ministering to someone, he's somehow always walking around with a reassuring smile on his face as he puts a gentle, steady hand on their shoulder. His robe is clean, his beard is trimmed. Nice Jesus. Nice Jesus doesn't get defensive. He's not rude, and he would certainly never call someone a dog. But that seems to be what Jesus does in this passage. So yes, this passage hurts my feelings. I don't like the way it makes me feel about nice Jesus. Jesus wanted to get away from the crowds. He wanted to rest in a place by himself for a minute. To do that, he traveled to the northern region of Tyre and Sidon, a large Phoenician port city north of Judea and Samaria. Jesus thought he would be a stranger there, but he wasn't. He thought nobody would recognize him, but one person did. A woman had heard about him. a woman whose daughter was ill. We don't learn her name, but it seems that Mark wants us to know something else about her. Mark says she is a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. In other words, she's an outsider to Jesus. It's important to understand that there was an enormous cultural boundary fixed between this woman and Jesus. It would have been almost unheard of for a Gentile woman to speak to a Jewish man in any setting. But for her to do it while Jesus was trying to be alone in a private house, well, that made it even more strange. Maybe that's why Jesus has this initial unflattering reaction. There is a wall between them. But for this woman, that cultural wall means nothing compared to her daughter's need for healing. She begs him to do something, anything, for her daughter. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Harsh words, especially to a woman who's at the end of her rope. All she wants is healing for her daughter. How difficult it must have been for her to hear that rejection from Jesus. Is this really the Jesus we know? Sure, there are ways to explain this away. There are ways to soften it a bit. Maybe Jesus is just being playful with her, calling her a puppy instead of a dog. Maybe Jesus is testing her. I don't know. Truly, I don't know. Much commentary has been written about this difficult passage to make it a little more palatable. We have our expectations about who Jesus is, and we can make even this story fit those expectations. But do we really want Jesus to be palatable? Or would we be far better served by a story that challenges our expectations? Softening this story misses the point. Jesus is saying to this woman, at least it seems, that the Jews are God's priority in the plan of salvation. Jesus, after all, is devoutly Jewish, and his mission is first to the Jews. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. We may not like it, but that is what the text says. The author of Mark preserved this story apparently so that we could know this about Jesus. When he wrote the book, Mark could have very easily left this part out, as Luke does. But there's got to be a reason that Mark wants us to read it. What's the point? But she answered him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." Maybe the woman changed his mind. Could that be the point? Does Mark want us to know that Jesus can learn and grow? It's certainly not without biblical warrant. Luke 2:52 says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature." Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus learned obedience. Even in the Old Testament, we have stories of people like Abraham and Moses appearing to persuade God. It's not out of the question, but is that really the point of the passage? Every passage of Scripture should be read in context. So, what is the context of this passage? Well, we've already examined the historical, cultural context. There is a great boundary between Jews and Gentiles. That certainly helps us understand a bit, but what about the literary context? Where is this story in its context? Directly before this story that we read, Mark reports that Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, his favorite sparring partner. Verse 14 begins, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled.' Thus Jesus declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him.'" How interesting that Mark would put a story like that right before the story of the Syrophoenician woman. He declares all foods clean. He says that what comes out of a person is what defiles them. Then he meets this person in need, a woman, a Gentile. In the eyes of a Judean man in that time and place, she is the very definition of unclean. But what happens really in this interaction? Yes, Jesus is rude, but what else? The woman asks for crumbs from Jesus' table. And instead of crumbs, he gives her the bread of life. The grace of Christ, formerly reserved for the Jews, has been offered to a Gentile. We know now that this mission of God is for the salvation of the entire world. This woman receives healing for her daughter, life, life abundant. Jesus, in the preceding story, declares all food clean. In this story, he declares all people clean. That vast wall between them has been broken down. But let's stay with this literary context for a bit longer. What comes after the story of the Syrophoenician woman? Another healing story. This time, Jesus is back in his home turf on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. If you look at a map, that is a pretty long walk. Plenty of time had passed. Mark is being deliberate in putting these stories together. Again, people hear of the miracles of Jesus, and they want him to heal somebody else. This time, a deaf man. The text says, "And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he puts his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'Be opened.'" Be opened. That is the point. One story of Jesus declaring all foods clean. Another story of Jesus declaring all people clean. And just to put an exclamation point on it, Mark gives us this third story of Jesus declaring to a deaf man, "Open up. Be opened." The boundaries that we've built around ourselves, there's no need for them. They're meaningless. What Jesus does to this deaf man, he is also doing to us. He is opening us up. In commentary on this passage, Episcopal pastor Chuck Treadwell says, "When we believe that everything outside is to be feared, and that we already have everything we need for health and wholeness, we build up walls, literal and metaphorical. We create emotional things that separate us, assuming that we are safe and that the other is dangerous. But actually, when we do that, we are in the most dangerous position of all. Because now the only thing we've got is us. And tragically, that is often the source of the real pain and sadness and danger in your life and mine. But when we encounter Jesus and allow him to tear down the walls we have created, we are cracked open. And the cracks allow all of that us to get out. And it allows the healing power of God to come in, to come into our hearts and to touch that which is broken, to heal that which is sick, to exorcise that which is possessed, to open us up to the healing power of Jesus. And we say, oh, now I understand. And almost magically, it looses our tongues. We can speak what we know. When we put down our defenses, when we break open the walls, and we open our hearts to God's presence, we are changed. Once we let go of the whole insider-outsider obsession, we can speak about the power and the healing and the freedom that comes with a life in Christ. We don't need Jesus to conform to our expectations. We don't need Jesus to be palatable. Jesus doesn't fit inside the walls we've created for ourselves. What we need is to be transformed by the grace of God in Christ. Transformed and cracked open so that when we look upon a stranger, instead we see a sister or a brother. When we hear the cries of the needy, we know that it is Christ calling us to love and to serve. But for that to happen, we must first have ears to hear and eyes to see. Ephatha, be opened.